Text number 25. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chayavam Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udirayet. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we should offer our respectful obeisances first under the personality of Godhead Narayan, under Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, under Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator, commentator, and our dearmost spiritual master. Nasta prayeshva badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering a service under the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious in the heart is destroyed to almost nil. And thus loving transcendental service under the personality of Godhead, whose praise with transcendental songs is established as an irrevocable fact. Sa badha hridayas tasmin arbhake kala bashini Nirikshamanas, Nirikshamanas, Tal, Lilam, Mumude, Jarato, Brisham, Sabada Rideas Tashmin, Arbake Kalabashini, Nirikshamanas, Tal, Lilam, Mumude jarato brisham sabada rideyastashmin arbake kalabashini nirekshamanastalilam mumude jarato brisham. Sabada rideyastashmin Arbake Kalabashini Rikshamanastalilam Mumude Jarato Brisham Tadmada Vridyastasmin Arbake Kalabashini Rikshamanastalilam Umude jarato brisham. Sabadha diriyastasmin. Arbake kalabashini. Rikshamanas talilam. Umude jarato brisham. Sabadha diriyastasmin. Arbake kalabashini nirikshamanastalilam mumude jarato brisham. Sabada hridyastasmin arbake kalabashini nirikshamanastalilam Mumude jarato brisham. Sabada hridayastasmin. Arbake kalabashini. Nirikshamanas talilam mumude jarato brisham. Caesar. Sabada ridyas tasmin arvake kalabashini nirikshamanas talilam mumude jarato brisham saha ki bada hridaya, being very attached, tashmin, to that, arbake, small child, kalabhasini, who could not talk clearly, but talked in broken language, nirikshamana, seeing, tat, his, lilam, pastimes, such as walking and talking to his father. Mumude, enjoyed. Jarata, the old man. Brisham, very much. Translation. Because of the child's broken language and awkward movements, old Ajamil was very much attached to him. He always took care of the child and enjoyed the child's activities. Can repeat, please. Because of the child's broken language and awkward movements, old Ajamil was very much attached to him. He always took care of the child and enjoyed the child's activities. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Here it is clearly mentioned that the child Narayana was so young that he could not even speak or walk properly. Since the old man was very attached to the child, he enjoyed the child's activities. And because the child's name was Narayana, the old man always chanted the holy name of Narayana. Although he was referring to the small child and not to the original Narayana, the name of Narayana is so powerful that even by chanting his son's name, he was becoming purified. Harinama, 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 eva kevalam. Srila Rupa Goswami has therefore declared that if one's mind is somehow or other attracted by the holy name of Krishna, tasmat kinap yupayena mana Krishne nivasayat. If one is on the path of... Srila Rupa Goswami has therefore declared that if one's mind is somehow or other attracted by the holy name of Krishna, one is on the path of liberation. It is customary in Hindu society for parents to give their children names like Krishnadas, Govindadas, Rainadas, and Vrindavandas. Thus they chant the names of Krishna, Govinda, Narayana, and Vrindavan and get the chance to be purified. Sabara hridayas tasmin arbake kalabashini nirikshamanas talilam mumude jarato brisham. Because of the child's broken language and awkward movements, old Ajamil was very much attached to him. He always took care of the child and enjoyed the child's activities. Oma jnana timanandasya gnanjana salakaya chaksurun militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, but my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, by His causeless mercy, has forced my eyes open with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, I offer my most humble obeisances under His lotus feet. How could I ever forget His mercy upon me? So we're continuing the famous story of Sri Ajamil. And as Dravida Prabhu so nicely explained in class yesterday, there's so many lessons to be learned from this pastime. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions how, even though Ajamiya was not intentionally chanting the name of the original Narayana, Lord Narayana. And he was chanting simply the name of his son because of his past, because of his association with the Vedic culture and his past activities, he became inspired to name his son Narayan. And just see how that, how so much volumes of sinful activity, and simply that one conscious act of naming his son Narayana, how incredibly powerful and potent that is. And so this shows the power of the Vedic civilization and the power of the Vanashram institution. As Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, the Vanashram institution is created by him. Because in this material world, everyone is not created equal. On the spiritual platform, that's another thing. But on the material platform, there are differences. And without acknowledging these differences, without acknowledging the particular modes of nature by which one has contacted and is influenced under, and acting according to those laws of material nature, it is literally impossible to get out of the stringent laws of material nature. The whole process of devotional service, of course, is transcendental to the Vanashram system. And so one may, you know, ask, and of course it was all of us, you know, were asking, although we know the importance in one sense of the Vanashram system, why is it Srila Prabhupada stressed it so much toward the last stage of his pastimes? And there are so much inference throughout the Vedic scriptures which talk about the importance of the Vanashram system. And especially as mentioned in previous class by Amala Bhakta Prabhu, the very situation which we've had in ISKCON with so many devotees falling away from the standard of Krishna consciousness, and as that happened more and more towards the late 70s, Srila Prabhupada then stressed more and more the importance of this Vanashram system. And the Vanashram system, although self-sufficient farm communities are not the only aspect of Vanashram, certainly during the reign of many Vedic kings, there were great cities at the same time. But the basis is the farming communities. Anad bhavanti bhutani, that all living beings subsist on food grains. Just like Srila Prabhupada so aptly said, you can't eat nuts and bolts. And so we've created a materialistic civilization that's based on artificial standards, where manufacturing enterprises are common everywhere, and everything is based on how these manufacturing enterprises can produce all these different machines and things that ostensibly are meant to make life easier, but the result is they don't. Within the Vedic system, within the Vanashram system, because everything is based on agricultural system, the Vaishyas only have to work 8-9 months out of the year. And then they have enough food grains, they can put them in storage, and the rest of their time they can devote towards spiritual pursuits. This is the genius of the Vedic system. Whereas today we have a system where, although supposedly there's so much free time created, actually there is no free time created. And even whatever free time is there, people are in so much anxiety that they have no time and they have no interest to dedicate the remainder of their time to the actual purpose of life, to hearing about the message of the personality of Godhead and figuring out who they are, where they come from, what the purpose of life is, and how to become truly happy in this lifetime. So I thought it was important to mention this, because this is the key point of this whole pastime, how somehow or other Ajameel, out of extreme good fortune, simply named his son Narayan. And even though he, throughout his life, he engaged in so many different cheating activities, at the point of death, he simply, because he was attached to his son and chanted his name, he got the opportunity to to again become saved within his life and to get the opportunity to go back to Godhead. It's mentioned here that old Ajameel was very much attached to the child's activities, to his awkward movement, to his broken language, and certainly that affection is there within the family unit. And it becomes very, very difficult to give up this attachment artificially. To give up family attachment, especially in Kali Yuga, is so very, very difficult. But through the Vanashram system, the process of gaining detachment gradually from family life is there. We have the benefit within the Krishna consciousness movement that we can transfer our attachment to so many wonderful devotees of the Lord, and we can experience in higher levels of realization that the whole world is our family. Why just this small unit of bodily relations should be our family? Indeed, the whole world is our family, because God is our common Father. And so on this spiritual platform, we are all kinsmen. And if one has this conception of life and goes through throughout his life thinking like this, then he won't experience a lot of the difficulties and that come from false ego that's bound around this conception that this family unit is mine, that this wife is mine, these children are product of my body, and therefore they are mine. This materialistic conception is very, very difficult to get out of, and pursues one even into the last stages of life. Ajameel's situation here is quite typical of the present situation of the family unit. And even to the very last stage of life, people are inextricably attached to family members, and it becomes a very horrible situation at the point of death. It's not, it's totally horrible for all the family members who think that they are their bodies, or at most perhaps think that they're their mind, and are thinking that everything is finished at the point of death. And so it becomes a very, very grieving situation when the family member is at the point of death, especially when they've spent their whole life not taking up the Yuga Dharma and leaving, simply having to leave their body like hogs and dogs. Fortunately, we've been given this process, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kaloino Steva, No Steva, No Steva, Ghattaranyata. This most powerful process of becoming self-realized simply by chanting the holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because Kali Yuga is so degraded, and it's practically impossible throughout for any other process to lift us out of the danger of Kali Yuga, but concomitantly, because it's such a difficult age and because self-realization is so difficult, the Lord, by His causeless mercy, has concomitantly made it so much easy for us to become self-realized simply by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's so incredibly easy. And because it is so easy, easy in one sense, easy that all we have to do is open our mouth and vibrate a sound, and we can be vibrating the sound of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And although it appears to be a material arrangement, that we're using our material tongue and our mouth and our voice to vibrate this sound, just like we're vibrating so many other sounds, but the effect is completely distinct. And we may not realize it, and it may take a long time to realize it. In the beginning, we may have some immediate experience of being freed from the three modes of material nature and experience some pleasure. But as we go on in Krishna consciousness, sometimes I've talked to devotees over time, and they reveal their minds sometimes at how it seems like things become, the process of devotional service becomes more and more difficult. And the reason for that is because Krishna is non-different from His name. That's a fact. But we're not non-different from anything that we're intimately associated with. Our body, our mind, our senses, we are completely different from all these things. And so to realize how Krishna and His name are completely non-different, it takes an attitude. And as they say, an attitude of gratitude, because we've been given so much, although we are so unfortunate and live in such an unfortunate age. We've been given a process that is so incredibly easy if we simply apply ourselves properly to the process. It becomes so easy. And why is it easy? It's easy because we're not doing anything anyway. Everything is being done by Krishna. Everything is being done within this material world according to the modes of material nature. And our extreme misfortune is that we think that we are doers. But once we realize that we're not, and that Krishna is doing everything, and with an attitude of surrender, we chant, with an attitude of complete helplessness to the Lord. Why? Because we actually are helpless. We actually are completely dependent on the mercy of Krishna. And if it weren't for Krishna's mercy, within one fraction of a second, immediately our brief life and all that we hold dear within this material world would be wiped out in an instant. But it becomes, it's very difficult to keep this quality of chanting continuously. This is the big challenge that we have as devotees. And this is the one of the biggest instructions from this wonderful story, that Ajameel, throughout his life, engaged in so much sinful activities. What was his qualification to be able to get the association of the Vishnu Dutas, who came and held off the Yama Dutas and gave him the chance to perfect his life? And simply by the causeless mercy of the holy name of the Lord, he was able to have that benefit. And but there was a quality in his chanting. He chanted in complete helplessness, although he wasn't even conscious that he was chanting the name of the Supreme Lord. The benefit was there. So therefore, the most important thing is not our qualification, our material qualification. That famous story in South India where the Brahmin was instructed by a spiritual master to read Bhagavad Gita, but he was illiterate and he couldn't read, so he was simply looking at the picture of Krishna driving the chariot of Arjuna, and tears were streaming down his eyes, and Lord Chaitanya approached him and said, you're illiterate, you can't read, why are you crying? And he said that because Krishna is so incredibly kind and merciful, he has agreed, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has agreed to become the chariot driver of his intimate devotee, Arjuna. And he was so struck by that, that he was overcome with emotion. And Lord Chaitanya then embraced him and said, yes, you have actually understood Bhagavad Gita. So this is really important as we go on and on in our process of devotional service. And association is, as the previous speakers both mentioned, association is very, very, very important. And it's just by that moment's association that Ajameel had with that prostitute, and as also as Amala Bhakta Prabhu very nicely pointed out, it wasn't just that he had that association, but that he allowed his mind to become involved in the process of that association. Because as Bhagavad Gita teaches us, while contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops attachment. From that attachment, lust develops, and then the whole process of falling down into the material pool comes. So we have to be very sincere. And as explained by Srila Rupa Goswami, that sincerity must be there in the beginning. And by that sincerity, one comes to associate with saintly persons, to hear about the process of devotional service from them. And then gradually one's faith develops like that. But also this, there's another word which is seriousness. And this is also very important, because since to be sincere, that's something we have to have all the time. We have to always be sincere. Sincere means that we're, you know, that we're taking part in the process, and that we're coming and we're hearing. But seriousness is, I would, in my mind, is the idea of being sincere for a long period of time, being continuously sincere, and following the process day by day, very strictly. And that means not simply in a hackneyed way, not in a you know, it's very easy to fall under the influence of the mind and simply, you know, come to the morning program and think that, oh, you know, now, you know, my duty's finished. You know, I've come to the morning program. I've read my chapter of Bhagavad Gita. You know, I do my service. I'm a devotee, and you know, I'm happy. I'm satisfied. This is not the mood of Srila Prabhupada, and this is the danger that sense gratification is something that has to be given up. And within every stage of life, it is beckoning us to engage in the illusory pursuit of sense gratification. So we ought to always be praying to Krishna for giving us more advanced association. And in that way, we can always be assured to have that association, which will help us to take a better example like that. So I'm sorry, I'm not very experienced in giving class, and so these are a little bit randomly put together thoughts on this verse. But it's time to stop. So if anyone has any questions or comments. Yes, Judah Karma Prabhu.
So you were mentioning in your class about, you know, family attachment and how common it is. And it seems in the modern age that's lessening a little bit. You know, I was reading some studies about how in some European countries they're having problems in that their population is reducing because people aren't getting married and having enough children. You know, it creates problems, you know, for their welfare systems, in the sense that you got more and more people getting old, and there's fewer younger people, you know, having families and working, and, you know, so they're having a problem where their populations are decreasing. And they try to encourage people in different ways to have families. And so, do you encounter any of that? That there's, like, people aren't becoming attached to family life?
Yeah, well, I guess we also have to look at the statistic of how many people are still having illicit sex in those cultures. So, I mean, having an attachment to the family unit isn't something that has to be learned. It's something that, you know, is natural there. And of course, the beauty of the vanashram system and the family unit is that that natural attachment which is there can be applied to the devotional service. And in a perfect Vedic system, the family unit, purpose of the family unit is to raise children in Krishna consciousness. And that process of purification, of course, begins even before with the Garbhadan Sankar process. Yeah, but I mean, in modern civilization, everything is so topsy-turvy and so backwards. And, you know, just like that, you know, benediction was that was given to the butcher by the saintly person. He said, may you not live and may you not die, because your life is completely hellish now, and after you die, you're going to have to get the reactions of all your sinful reactions of killing so many animals. So, you know, whether live or die, you know, what's the difference? So, you know, modern civilization is so materialistic that, you know, whether there's a complete family unit or not, the actual purpose of going back to Godhead in either case really isn't the prime interest of, you know, of life. But I don't know exactly, you know, what answer you're looking for to your question, but... But yes, that is a common phenomena, and just like it's said, why, if there's milk available in the market, why go to the trouble to keep a cow? So I guess that logic can be applied to this case also. People are really interested in simply, you know, sex life and not having to take responsibility for it. So the easiest thing, you know, because in Kali Yuga, the families are, I mean, so many stories about, you know, even, you know, children killing their parents and parents killing their kids. I mean, it's such a horrible situation in Kali Yuga. In any case, Dravida Prabhu, I think you were next.
Yeah, I had a comment on that. Let's call it a revolution. The contraception has changed everything. You know, it used to be that, okay, you know, you're going to have sex, you're going to have a child, there are going to be children, and it has to be an arrangement, otherwise society goes to hell. But now, because they have contraception, people they can have to separate the sex from the children. And the result is fewer and fewer children, fewer and fewer people committing to family. And so, as you say, society becomes more and more chaotic. You have huge distortions, like in China, where they have many, many fewer girls, because you only have one child, and you know this whole business. So it's not that people are becoming detached; they're just as attached to sex life, but it's in a very perverted and demonic way. And so you have all these distortions. But I had a question about, if I could. There seems to be like these two tracks, these two truths, if you will, about the process of devotional service. On one hand, you have the process given by Rupa Goswami, which you know, there's very definite steps, there's 64 different things to do, 9 processes of devotional service, surrender to a guru. It's a razor's edge. If you fall off, you can get cut, and you can, you know, you fall away from the process, as you mentioned. But on the other hand, you have a situation like Ajamil, who didn't practice anything all his own life, his whole life. All he did was name his children after Narayan, Al Govinda, whatever, you know, assume. And so, and yet he, because of that one good thing that he did, he ultimately achieved perfection. So there's like that in everything. You know, they have a kramanasho sti, there's no loss of diminution. But on the other hand, many, many births you may take if you commit offenses, you know, chanting Hare Krishna, and you will achieve the goal. So how do we unite these two? What's the unifying principle of both of these ideas? On the one, it's very easy, you know, in one sense, chant the holy name. Name your children after Krishna, and practically, even if you're very sinful, you'll get the benediction of calling out to them in desperation or whatever.
The common, very nice question. The common thread in my mind is that Krishna is non-different from the process of pure devotional service. It is so incredibly powerful. And so as we know, simply by chanting the one name offenselessly of Krishna, then one immediately obtains liberation. So it's so incredibly easy that, you know, there's so many regulations there, so we don't take it cheaply. And indeed, the symptoms, as one advances in pure devotional service, that chapter in Srimad Bhagavatam is entitled Pure Devotional Service, the Change in Heart. So the change in heart is something that must come as we advance in devotional service. And if it doesn't come, then, you know, it can be understood that, you know, we are ungrateful. And even though we may be ungrateful, even though we may be the greatest sinner and take to the process of devotional service and then again go back into material activities, Krishna is so kind and so incredibly merciful and so appreciative of just the smallest service that one does that he never forgets it. Just like that wonderful story about the there was a deity in one of the temples in South India, and there was a mouse on the altar that had the habit of getting different eating the different prasadam that was on there, that was offered it to the deity. He would come and eat it, of course, probably eat it before it was offered a lot of the time. But then he got too close to one of the ghee lamps, his tail caught on fire, and he was jumping up and down, you know, trying to put out the flame in front of the deity. And then he died. He went back to Vaikuntha because he was dancing in front of the deity. And Krishna was so pleased that he's dancing so nicely for me. It wasn't the mouse's intention to please the Lord in that way, but he got the benefit. So how merciful is the Lord? Yes, Archita Prabhu.
I think a little bit further elucidation could be that on the one hand, Bahu Janma Kariyani, you know, don't take it for granted. And it's Krishna, you know, Krishna's mercy is there for sure, but don't take it for granted, because if you chant with materialistic intention, you could be chanting for many millions of births and not get the goal. And on the other hand, we have Ajamil. Now, yesterday someone asked a question after class, and I think this kind of ties in. He asked, which yuga are we talking about here with Ajamil? It seems it's Kali Yuga, because if at 88 he's an old man ready to die, then it seems it's Kali Yuga. Because if it was Dwapara Yuga, they were living to 1,000 years, you know, Treta Yuga, 10,000, Satya Yuga, 100,000. So it seems that if he's already old and decrepit and ready to die at 88, it must have been a Kali Yuga. But it can't be this Kali Yuga, related at the beginning of this Kali Yuga. Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit are just about the beginning of this Kali Yuga after Krishna left. So they're not talking about this Kali Yuga. It must have been some previous Kali Yuga then. So it seems that Krishna's mercy is especially strong in Kali Yuga. That's why Lord Chaitanya comes. And so the mercy of the Lord is especially prominent in Kali Yuga, because we're so useless in Kali Yuga. We don't have the lifespan, we don't have the intelligence, we don't have the memory, we don't have anything. Everything is gone. So especially in this Yuga, Krishna is very, very merciful. So if Ajamil was in the previous Kali Yuga, it makes sense. Just by chanting, even not directly intending to chant the Lord's name, the Lord still took it as, you know, chanting and gave him a chance to go back to Godhead. So it seems that, yeah, even though we're, you know, Krishna's mercy is the unifying factor, don't take it for granted, because otherwise you can be chanting for many births, but at the same time, Ajamil is there to encourage us that even just a little bit of step in the right direction can get you back to Godhead.
Thank you, Archita. Such an anointing.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a nice class. In the beginning of your class, you were speaking about the importance of Varnashram Dharma, and I could see an urgency in that. And you always try to emphasize that, as many other devotees in some parts of the world, the necessity of Varnashram Dharma. So, in speaking about Ajamil, this obviously a very important factor that the culture aspect helped him a lot. Mm. He was living in an environment created that it helped him. If a person is a drug addict or sex monger or alcoholic, you're going to ask him to get out of Las Vegas because he wouldn't make any progress there. He will be living in an environment in which it will be like, okay, go back to the same thing. So similarly, you know, like the environment that we're creating, we're very small, tiny group here, like Prabhupada's, by Prabhupada's mercy, we're trying to create that. Even devotees who chant Hare Krishna, because, you know, they think that, okay, you know, for whatever reasons, when they live outside, and then they get caught up in their family affairs and different things, and they go, even in spite of chanting Hare Krishna, still the environment is not helping a lot. So what I was trying to just mention that, yes, it's important along with what we're doing to combine that effort, that eventually, maybe sometime in the future, we create that environment for the new generation, at least for the children, and to educate them. Because most of the devotees now, they're in their late 60s, or senior devotees, and they see that need, but they it's like they're caught up. They don't know how to do it, how to start it. And the environment has to be created.
Very good point.
And that's the comment.
Very good point, Prabhu. That's Vanashram has to be instituted. Because as Srila Prabhupada says, you know, it's one thing if we want to live just in our small community here and have devotees, you know, people come and become devotees and enter our community. But if we want to look to spread Krishna consciousness all over the globe, all over the planet, then the instituting Varnashram system is absolutely essential, and we cannot do it otherwise. Srila Prabhupada has said this again and again. Very good point. Thank you, Prabhu. I think we're out of time. Thank you very much. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
I'm so serious.